I have been thinking about this, what I say tonight, for a week, and every day something new comes up, and I start trying to figure out how it all fits together. So let's see. The choice: Almighty God or the almighty dollar. The choice. Your choice. Everybody has a choice. My first recollection of the dollar was when I was 7 or 8 years of age. My brother and I worked in the farm in Kearney, Nebraska. Dad offered my brother and I 10 cents a bushel basket for pulling the weeds out of the strawberry patch. My brother examined the situation, and in about 15 minutes, he had a bushel basket full, and he wanted his dime. And I was 15 feet down the 100-foot first row, and he was already filled up his basket. And my dad laughed out loud. Because my brother figured out very easily that if he went down all those rows, picked up all the big weeds, he could fill the bushel basket in a hurry, and that's what he did, and he got his dime. And I was pulling every little darn weed along the way. But we got our dime. And you know, as a little boy, that was big news, big bucks. And at those times, 10 cents was something you could buy. You could buy something for 10 cents. That was power. That was power. Gave you power. That gave us a feeling of power because we could do something with that dime. We could use it. So I'm going to turn to James, James 2, back of the book, James 2, and I'm going to read 1 through 7, James 2, 1 through 7. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons? For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in a vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Does God not favor the poor? Perhaps because, you see, the poor have no place to turn. They have no dimes, they have no dollars, they have no power in the hierarchy of the city and the government. So turn to the poor. And do the rich men not oppress you? Do the rich people not oppress us? Do they not blaspheme our worthy name with what they say and what's going on in the world? Do you feel it? Do you sense it? Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? They have no place to turn except God. And church, really, when we look at what the church has done, the church has not done too well by the poor. God favors, but the church hadn't done too well. In fact, you see, the church has kind of defaulted on the poor because the government's taken over. The government has paid the welfare payments to the people. And the people that get those welfare payments kind of see their benefactor as being somebody else but other than God, other than the church. But let's see what I can do with my power. You know, I got this dime. What do I do with the dime? What can I do with the dime? I can spend it. Then my power is gone. If so, I could work and earn another dime if I'm healthy enough. I could have it and keep it, but then I have no power. I really can't enjoy the power, but I could keep it. I could invest it, you see, with a broker. And he could make some money on my dime of the interest that he makes or the broker fees or whatever. But what if the investment goes belly up and I lose my dime? I could give it to God, to the church, which could be used for God's work. People with a dime to spend, and we see it all the time, people with a dime to spend and seek power, seek positions of employment. So we have campaign for this office and that office and jobs in government. And we taxpayers give money for the campaigns, I guess, if we're supporting some candidate. They get their job, then they can spend other people's money with impunity. They can solicit money for their campaign, and they can keep their money, their power, because they're spending other money, other people's money with impunity. We could work for another dime if we lost it, but we can't make a dime. We can't mint it. We can't make legal tender. We can work for the dime after we lose it, or we can work for a dime, then we can use it, but we can't make it. But the government can mint money, and they do. Aspire to be in a position of power, we, like the government people, the government has designed to be different than the dictatorship. Our government was a total power, but a government of specific enumerated powers, limited to the roads, the army, the military, the post office, which they determined they can't run, so they have made it a government corporation because they can't run it, but it was designed for them to run. There's no provision in the Constitution for agencies to... Oh, the public welfare, yeah, we snuck that welfare stuff under public welfare and the protection of the people, I guess. So you see, we've snuck all that in there, even though it really wasn't specifically designated. So here these people are spending money that they didn't earn with impunity for whatever good or evil they undertake to do. The government, our government, is supposed to have a budget. I haven't had one in, what, 60-some years? continuing resolution so that there is no budget, so the government, whoever's in charge, just spends money hilly-willy, however they see fit. So we give Ukraine $10 million to protect their border, and not a dime to protect our border to fight the enemy that's invading our country. Do not the rich men oppress you. Do not the elite cause you concern. They're still spraying in the air every Tuesday and Thursday, whatever that is, I think it's aluminum. The fires in California, they really haven't determined what caused those. They're electrical fires of some sort because the trees don't really burn always. Maui fires, we still have no answers there. Chinese illegals came into this country with the specific task of destroying our system here in electrical system in the state of Texas. They caught them, and I think probably saved that. Bill Gates' whole program is to get rid of all the white people. The illegal children delivered to sponsors, human traffic. We have no idea what they're doing. Fentanyl cartels are making lots of money. We dissolve the police. We get rid of them. We have voter fraud, a whole bunch of other things. We don't have any idea who leaked that opinion in the Supreme Court. We don't have any idea, who had the little illegal drugs in the White House. We don't have any idea what the money from China that ended up in Biden's bank account. We don't have any idea what that's for. All power in the money and the elite who have the elected positions. But this week, just yesterday, there's a movie out, a new movie. Do you want to see the new movie? The movie is produced by Mr. and Mrs. Obama. Oh. And go see the new movie, huh? And you know what the movie's about? A catastrophe. A catastrophe. Well, you see, Obama was a past president of the United States. And in his position as president, he has information that we, the people, probably don't know anything about. And so if he's producing a movie about the catastrophe of the in the United States, some sort of a catastrophe in the United States, a hurricane that destroys our whole system and our economy. You see, he may have some inside information, and in talking to the people that he had produce it, the movie, the people that actually filmed it and put it together, they say Obama scared the living daylights out of with what he had to say. And you see, we have known in this country for 4, 5, 6 years about the cyber attack. An electrical bomb that goes off in the sky and affects all of our electricity. Causes damage to all electrical equipment that's not protected by some sort of protection. We know how to do the protection, and the government has known all about this for several years. But do you know anybody that's doing it, protecting it? Anybody that's got a protection system in their garage to protect their car? cyber attack. What would that look like? Well, you see, we had an attack on this country called 9/11, which we refer to it as 9/11. And despite everything that the United States had put in place to protect against a terrorist attack, nothing worked. Nothing worked. They were supposed to be prepared for this terrorist attack. And nothing worked. You see, the planes that were on the ground that were supposed to go up didn't get up to go intercede. President was in a school in Florida talking to little children. The plane hit the Twin Towers. The plane hit the military headquarters in Washington, D.C. Supposed to have a video of anything coming into towards the building, no video. Supposed to be an airplane that hit the military facilities, but there's no parts to a plane in the damages. We don't know what causes the fires in Hawaii that melts the aluminum and runs it down the curbside, but doesn't burn the trees, doesn't burn the paper in the seat in the car, doesn't burn up some of the things in the car. Cyber attack. Cut off all if that bomb really does go off. And see, we've known about it for 4 years, and the government wasn't prepared when we had the little old 9/11, and if there really is a cyber attack, then, and see, last week, what we did last week was we talked about Thessalonians. Thessalonians, what is it? I have it here, 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm going to go turn back there. First Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you, that we may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have a lack of nothing. My question was, and my concern was, is God kind of just warning us to be prepared, for what might happen? And if all that electricity goes out, and if all those electrical things are attacked, now here's the scenario. You see, we have a presidential election coming up. And China has delivered money to the United States government officials, government agents, or erstwhile would be government agents. I suspect there's a purpose for it. And we got a presidential election coming up. Now, there's some good news and some bad news in all this. You see, some of the good news is that Obama's losing badly in the polls because of all the evidence and what has been going on. And Obama and Trump's been gaining. But you see, if if they paid money for something to take place in this country, and we're going to change presidents, it's not going to be supportive, then all the more reason to do something and to do it before the election. There's news stories in the paper about what would happen. You see, they don't say kill Trump. What they say is, what would happen if somebody did kill Trump? The commentator that we listened to said, well, really and truly, what we think they're trying to do is to suggest to some rabid political guy that he undertake to do it to help them out, to help their party out. I don't know. We don't know. And we really don't know what's going to happen. We don't know that China will, but if it were an opportunity to protect their interests, their investments, you see, of billions of dollars, then the time between now and the presidential election would be the time for it to take place. Because if Trump actually got elected, that would be too late to really stop him from getting elected. So this is a time that we might be concerned. And I don't know that Thessalonians is saying is a warning to us, but it kind of takes in my mind that we ought to be thinking about what the church does. Because if the church is present when some cyber attack takes place, there will be more and more poor, and more people will be without transportation. If the cars don't run, this is something that could be really a difficult situation to deal with, and the church is in the position, because we are told, you see, if we go back If we go back to James and read what James says in James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, dost thou well. The devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture is fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise was it not Rahab the harlot that justified by works? She had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. If the church is thinking about what might happen and is prepared, then we have a huge task if something did happen. And the likelihood that it not happen is a possibility. And you see, they said 9/11 would never ever occur. 9/11 would never ever happen. And they had their system lined up, but it didn't work. They have no system for the cyber attack. There is no protection. There is nobody anywhere doing anything about it. And China, if it really does have this cyber attack, and see, we don't understand why the fires in Maui work the way they do. We don't understand why they're spewing out aluminum in the skies. We don't understand what all these people are doing with their money that they're getting from the taxpayer. But the church is in, and we, the people, are in the posture that we have made the choice. We here are believers, which puts us in a posture that we're committed, should be committed, to looking at the possibilities of the threats. Because you see, 9/11 wasn't ever going to happen. We were prepared. We're not prepared for anything like what they're talking about here. And it's going to fall upon we, the people, to be prepared to take care of we, the people. It's going to be falling on us to do that. So, what do? Well, we turn to God, we pray, and we use wisdom and guidance that we get from history, our experiences. History is what the Bible tells. Our experience is what we've experienced, what we've learned in our lifestyle that we can do to preserve food, to protect our food supplies, because if we don't have transportation, that's an issue. We don't have having some effort to prepare, be alerted anyway to the possibilities. I know God says He will take care of His people and protect us, and they did with Nancy and Mike over the weekend, and we're so very thankful for that. But I think it does put on those of us that are believers and faithful Christians at least to think about what we need to be prepared to do. And see, the almighty dollar is probably not going to be much help if the cyber attack takes place. We're going to be dependent upon what's in-house, what's here, what we have. Because the trucks aren't going to be delivering the chickens. So, the challenge to the church. Psalm 113:7 says, He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. We need to rely and trust on God as a church. But I think it's wise that we consider what the church does in anticipation of potential problems. And see, it might not be cyber attack at all. Might be something that we don't even anticipate or think of. Puts us in a difficult position to even think about what the possibilities are. But it's a challenge for the Christians to be. Remain faithful, turn to God. Can't rely on the dollar, can't rely on the monetary system. We're going to end up relying on God and our abilities to stand strong, to be faithful, Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wisdom and guidance. Thank you for giving us your blessings over and over and over again, for the provisions you make for us, for the church, for the opportunities that we have to reach out to the people in this community, to touch people in this community, and to anticipate as best we can what we need to be doing in the event of serious calamities or problems. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.